Guess what I was doing last night?
Eating your tea?
Well, no. There wasn't a lot of tea eating going on because I had a very special task, which was to be compare for a local version of the Eurovision Song Contest. I live in a city called Derby, and Derby did its own like Derby vision, but it was held in the Ukrainian Cultural Center, and this was the moment that the contest started. An incredibly moving rendition, yeah, of the Ukrainian national anthem. And there were people there who had their hands on their hearts. There were people standing up. There were people shouting out. Such was the emotion there. And what a way to begin Derby Vision. And what a way to begin this edition of Nulpwa!
Slava Ukraini!
Nulpwa is shameful.
Nulpwa is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpwa is no fun.
Yes, welcome to Nulpwa. I'm Laura. That is Martin. We are right at the beginning of this contest. Well, some will say it's already started because we've already had many rehearsals and we'll be talking about those in just a moment's time. But so exciting. The contest is upon us, Martin.
And I am so in the mood after my festivities of yesterday in the local Derby Vision, which was so much fun. So different areas of Derby were kind of represented as if they were countries. And then we had judges who were kind of representing the countries who were giving their votes and the douze-pois and all of that business. And the fact that it was in the Ukrainian Cultural Center was also really, really great. And you heard there Iona Kildyshova, who is Ukrainian. She fled Kyiv, opening the show. And during the contest, during the Derby Vision contest, I actually had a little chat with her.
If we talk about like my personal feelings, yeah, so I felt myself like my complete life ended. There wouldn't be any more like nice moments, any light moments, and being here in a safe place and having an opportunity to perform in front of all of you, it's just amazing opportunity. I feel myself so energized now. I feel that I can do everything, and just like in my future, there will be so many nice moments. And yeah, we have war, but one day it will end. We will win. It will be forever with us as a memory, but we need to move on.
Okay. Wow. Wow. I think a lot of the hairs on a lot of people's arms stood up when you said we will win. What does it mean to have this Derby Vision event happening here in a place that is representative of the Ukrainian community in the city?
That's amazing. It's such a warm feeling. Thank you very much. And I see some performers have Ukrainian hearts. And I want to say that I see everything. Thank you so much from all the Ukrainians for your support, for your good attitude towards us. It's amazing. And thank you very much to the whole UK for hosting us here. And yeah, it's amazing. Thank you.
A lot of emotion, and it really means a lot to Ukrainians, right? Having, well, in this case, Derby Vision, but having the Eurovision Song Contest take place at all in Ukraine's name is really, really important. And it's really important for us not to forget that.
Totally. And I'm sure we'll be seeing lots of that when we get over to Liverpool. And talking about Liverpool and going there, coming up later on the show, we are going to be talking to the one and only Maxi Rainbow, friend of the show. They're always got so much knowledge to impart about what's going on with the contest. And they've been in Liverpool for a couple of weeks, I believe, so far. So we wanted to catch up with them and ask them a bit about the contest and what Liverpool has been bringing to it. And it sounds like a lot.
We'll do that very soon. First of all, though, rehearsals that have been taking place this week, which is where people get their first little look at what things might actually look like on the stage, and it is impressive.
This year, it's been watered down a little bit, the excitement around this, because the fan media hasn't been allowed in to watch these very first rehearsals. They will be in the second week when all the live shows are around, but it's just been official sources that have shown us glimpses of these photos. So that's been, you know, a little bit watered down, but we've still been able to see clips of everything that's going on. And there's been a few that have caught people's eye. First up, Israel, Noah Carell and Unicorn. She's going all out with the dancing, sort of reminiscent of Chanel and Slow Mo for Spain. What do you make of the clip that we're seeing of the rehearsal?
Hugely energetic, and it's very physical. She's getting down on the floor. She's rolling, doing like commando rolls. There's legs everywhere.
There's just a lot going on, isn't there?
There's a huge amount going on. And then the staging is really interesting as well. Huge screens with, well, as you can imagine, the song's called Unicorn. Big unicorns. Right, projected, but they're enormous and they look amazing. This could be one of the ones where the staging really makes that performance go to the next level.
Some people, though, the reactions are interesting. I think some people almost feeling like it's a bit too over the top, the dancing, because she is really just spinning around the floor. It's almost so much, and it's maybe not quite as in tune with the song as, for example, Slow Mo and Spain Chanel, but a lot of people talking about the song, at least, and that's kind of what you want to get if you want your song to do well. Moving on to Finland, of course, this one was going to be one that people were going to pick up on, Keria and Cha Cha Cha. Now, what do you make of this?
This is just energy, isn't it? They do a lot with palettes. Okay?
They do. So
they do a lot with palettes.
We see Keria, he's breaking out of this giant box on stage. He leaps up to the top and he's got his green bolero on, his famous green bolero. And then inside the box, there are these pink cha-cha-cha dancers who then also break out the box and they're dancing with him. What really I enjoyed the most was seeing near the end where there's these huge multicolored lights and he's dancing on stage. It looks really quite a spectacle.
Totally. I am very excited for this. That song's already bonkers, and I'm really hopeful that the staging just makes it even more bonkers. It certainly seems that way. Excited for Finland so much, as I am for the front runner at the moment. And if you were listening to our ones to watch in the last episode, you'll know all about this, Loreen and Tattoo. And you mentioned, Cress, these two giant screens that kind of make a Loreen sandwich. She stands on one and the other one's above her. And you were explaining it very well, but now I've seen it, I understand it even more. She's sort of pushing them up with her hands and they rise and fall to squish her or not squish her. And she's performing within this sort of box. The clip we've seen, she's exclusively in this little this television screen sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't know whether at any point she comes out of it, but that would be interesting, because if it's just in that, that requires an awful lot from her. She's performing in a very small space compared to the others who use the whole stage.
That's true, but that might be part of it, you know, being contained in there. She could give a lot, Loreen. When you look at the movement she's doing within that space, she's really giving it her all. We see a little bit about all the smoke and the fog, and that's going to sort of surround her at the beginning. It'll be a very theatrical performance, which is what we were expecting. I don't feel if it's given any more extra than what we were seeing at Melody Festivalen, but on the night, it's still looking from this going to be something special. The last one I wanted to give a quick mention
I just mention before you move on?
Please.
The unbelievable fingernails of Loreen.
Almost claws, really, at that point, don't you think?
They're longer than her actual fingers. is something that I've noticed there. She doesn't want to chip one of those.
She's got to watch
out. I have to say, some very impressive fingernail action from Mae Muller, but she's got nothing on Loreen.
No, she really doesn't. And yeah, the fingernail action is all down to Loreen. But yeah, looking at UK, I thought we should take a quick look at what's going on there. And I'm pleasantly surprised, I have to say. We've only seen a little clip of the kind of backdrop, but it's very pop art, it's very bright colours, and it looks very modern and well put together.
If I knew more about art, I would be able to tell you about some of, like, you know, it looks very like a very recognisable style, right? And a particular artistic style, which I don't know what it is because I'm not very good. I mean, you mentioned pop art.
Well, I think it's pop art, isn't it?
I thought there was
it's not Andy Warhol, but it's along that sort of style.
Now, Andy Warhol, I think, is who I was thinking of, you know. Yeah. I was trying to think of the name of the artist, but I'm thick, so I don't know. But it does look like that. It's very kind of familiar, but quite strange. There's elements of the kind of, you know, that big boot in Monty Python that comes down. This is weirdly the second time I've mentioned Monty Python.
Yeah, you're really fascinated with that boot, aren't you?
But obsessed with it. That kind of cartoony style is part of the kind of artistic language. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know. It's all in context, right? How does it sit alongside the other acts that are coming before and after it?
I don't think it's bad, though.
Looking at that,
I think I wouldn't look at that and think, oh no, that's going to tank our chances. I'd look at that and think, okay, I think this is something we can work with.
I've got high hopes. Come on, May, you can do it.
Well, you had high hopes to begin with. You said she was going to come fifth.
All right. Thank you very much.
Just keep reminding people of that.
Yeah, okay. Right, there you go. Just a few ideas of some of the rehearsals and our kind of very immediate reactions to them. You can go and look these up on social media and give us your thoughts. Still to come, we're going to be getting to that conversation with Maxi Rainbow, the Queen of Eurovision, who is in Liverpool right now. But first, some other stuff, and there's rumours abounding actually concerning the semi-finals.
These are still pretty much rumours at the moment. We've not had any confirmation by the EMU, but we've had by the EBU. We have
the
had
EMU.
There's been no confirmation by any EMU, as far as I'm aware.
The EMUs haven't confirmed anything. They're very tight-lipped.
And we'll cross over to the Eurovision EMU now for their points on this. The EBU have not given any confirmation about this, but there have been some evidence that this could be the case. And this is all, as Marta says, the semi-final. It apparently looks like the announcements, when they give the announcements about who is through for each semi-final, they're going to be revealed differently with all of the artists up on stage as they do this, X Factor results style. And they'll announce the 10 qualifiers as everyone's up on stage. Now, people have been reacting to this. As I said, it's not confirmed, but there's been suggestions. It is going to happen. Someone has seen a rundown draft of the show, apparently, and has seen something saying clear main stage of losing acts. And that's where they're getting this idea that this is how it's going to happen. Not for definite this, but obviously this has got quite a lot of reaction. We asked some of you guys on Twitter for your responses on this. Ewan Spence, of course, from ESC Insider, got back saying 6 people on stage, 1 goes through, the rest having that dream dashed in front of them. 1, it's cruel. I don't watch Eurovision for cruel. I watch for love. 2, how many established artists would set themselves up for this in future years? And we've had a few more messages as well.
Yeah, Safalafel says, I mean, one of the nice things about the semi-final was how not dragged out it was compared to the grand final. And I do fear this is going to be an excuse to drag it out for every ounce of its life. It's true. There was something quite nice about the end of the semi-finals. They're like, right, here's the ones that are through. Thank you very much. Good night.
James Martin on Twitter actually has another interesting point, saying, I'm fine with it. It's a competition. If it's what's best for the television production, let's roll with it. It's no worse than getting told you've got sweet FA or mere crumbs in the telly vote. Let's be honest. I feel some perspective is needed.
And finally, Jill says, I'm not a fan of the artist being this exposed, taking things too far. As always, thank you, by the way, for getting in touch with those comments. And if you want to get in contact with this podcast, details of how you can do that coming very, very soon. Indeed.
Well, I think our excitement for going to Liverpool is at fever pitch, and we really want to hear what it's like. So we thought it was time to catch up with our friend of the show, Maxi Rainbow, the Queen of Eurovision, who has been there for quite a while already. Maxi, hi. How's it going?
Hi, it's going really, really good. I'm kind of like, you know, exhausted. It's amazing. It's kind of like that fun exhaustion. Just having a lot of fun and being tired is part of it.
Well, it is, isn't it? But you got to take the rough with the smooth. And the smooth is being there on the ground in Liverpool. What can we expect? What's the atmosphere like in Liverpool right now?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's literally outstanding. It's so exciting to even just walk around the city. There's all these kind of like photo opportunities and kind of like monuments and things that they put up just for Eurovision. And when you talk to the locals and you talk to people from Liverpool, walking into shops and just speaking with them, everybody just seems so excited to be having this in their city, which is so starkly different from last year. I love Turin. I thought it was a beautiful city, but there just wasn't that Eurovision hype that there is here. It's like the coronation is happening, but everybody's talking about Eurovision.
Yes, that's very interesting, isn't it? Very interesting.
To tell us about what you've gotten up to whilst you're there then, you know, we're obviously going to be coming there quite shortly. So are there certain places we should definitely check out? Have you got any tips for us?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, it depends on what kind of stuff you like. I am like a museum person. Like, I love, and I know I say museum wrong. I don't know why I do. Everybody always says that.
Oh, bless you.
I do. I like museums, and the Beatles Museum is really, really cool. And the Liverpool Museum is awesome if you want to know more of the history of the city. And I love to do kind of like research and stuff and know more about where I'm staying. So that's really cool. And then also just all the Eurovision stuff that's around the city as Eurovision fans, that's some of the coolest stuff to go around and see. There's posters, birds that are all over the city that are kind of, you know, representing Ukraine. I have been here for 2 weeks. I've barely scratched the surface. There's stuff on every corner of every single street. And there's also the Eurovision events that we know of with the Euro Village. And then there's something going on called the Eurovision Festival. There's so many different things, and it's just basically little things. A lot of it's like featuring Ukrainian artists or Eurovision like drag performances and all these different things happening all around the city. So I would definitely look into some of those and see if there's anything that piques your interest.
I'm so happy and relieved, Maxi, that you're saying that there's all this stuff going on, because Liverpool said at the outset, we are going to get behind this. We're going to throw everything at it. And it, you know, we're always in this country a bit skeptical as to whether or not that will actually happen and whether it'll just be a damp squib. But it really feels like from what you're saying, the city has really got behind it. One of the things I'm quite interested in, and you've touched on it a couple of times there, is the Ukrainian element. Obviously, there's been a lot made of the fact that this is Ukraine's thing, and it should celebrate Ukrainian music just as much as it does the UK. To what extent have you seen Ukrainian influence in some of the things that's going on there, some of the things that are happening, and the feel of Liverpool at the moment?
Honestly, the majority of the events and the kind of things that have been set up around the city to honor Eurovision, other than just like the logos of the contest and, you know, signs that are saying the contest is going on, most of it is Ukrainian based. I would say the majority of it is Ukrainian based. There's not a lot that's like honoring the UK. It's like mostly Ukrainian stuff and then Eurovision stuff.
I think everyone would agree that's kind of how it should be as they won. So yeah, but I'm you're making me very excited, Maxi. This all sounds great. Let's move, I guess, to the contest itself. You've been there for a while, soaking up the atmosphere, but also you got to chat to some of the artists. You've obviously been speaking to lots of other ESC fans, that kind of thing. Who do you get a feel is going to do well this year, and who's maybe not looking so good?
I feel like there's a very clear, definitive top group of people that are kind of in consideration for the win. Of course, we have Loreen and Tarja from Sweden and Finland. Those are like the top two contenders that we know. But I also think that France and Spain and also Austria are real contenders as well. And then, you know, unfortunately, I'll say the UK has done an amazing job with the staging. Everybody looks really, really good. And this is a really, really strong year, and the production is amazing. I'm feeling sad for Romania, Theodore Andre, because that's one of my favorite songs, but it doesn't look like he's gotten a lot of the support from his broadcaster to really deliver the big performance that I know he wanted to deliver on the stage. Everybody else, I really do feel like it's very open. It's all on the same level playing field. A lot of the contenders are in the first semi. So, you know, the second one is the one that's really kind of like, I don't know what way it's going to go, because even songs that maybe aren't my favorites, like I know Azerbaijan's not my favorite song, but then I see the staging and I'm like, well, it's actually really beautiful and it takes it to another level. So that's what makes this so hard. Like once we start getting the live performances, I'm like, oh, that was my last place. But like, wait, I kind of love what they're doing on that stage. How do you place that then after that? There's some really good contenders this year. And I do feel like it's more open than a lot of people are saying it is. I think a lot of people think it's just Laureen's going to win. And I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Well, we are so excited, Maxi, to see you in Liverpool. And hopefully we'll be able to meet up at some point. But we're so excited to be there as well and to experience what you're experiencing right now ahead of the Eurovision Song Contest. We're going to be joining you a little bit later in the city. Thank you so much for telling us all about it and giving us a little preview of what we can expect and for your thoughts on who you think is going to do well and maybe not so well in the contest this year. Enjoy the rest of Liverpool.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And yes, I cannot wait for you guys to get here. And we will definitely be seeing each other for sure.
Thank you, as always, to Maxi. Aren't you excited, Martin, for Liverpool now?
I'm so
pleased. Can I just say, I feel quite a lot of pride as someone from England and from the UK that they've really gotten into it so well and sort of shown what we can do if we are really into something. Because I do feel, even now, perhaps not as much now, but the UK has gotten a bit of a bad rap for just not really being into Eurovision as much as other places. And I really hope this is a changing point for us.
Yeah, and I must say, like from the event I was talking about earlier, talking to people about the Eurovision Song Contest who were not big Eurovision fans, you know, a lot of the people in that audience have gone there because they wanted to support like the local community music scene. And I think there would have been a time where local community music scene and, you know, music lovers for like in their local area and the Eurovision Song Contest would be so diametrically opposed that, you know, one, they would just say, oh no, that Eurovision, that's not proper music or whatever. None of that now, right? People really kind of embrace this contest and embrace what it is and what it can bring and what it can do. And I think that's so wonderful to see. I really feel like the UK public has got behind this. And how long have we been waiting for that to happen? I just hope it lasts.
So do I. So do I. And I hope no matter how May Muller performs, because it shouldn't just be linked to performance. Obviously, that can make people be more excited if you do very well, but it shouldn't just be about that. So fingers crossed. Anyway, now we get on to a couple of mentions. I have to say, first of all, thank you very much to the two new people who have supported, the two loyal contributors, I should say, who have supported us on Patreon. We've got two new ones, Martin.
Oh.
First of all, we've got Chris. Thank you very much, Chris.
Chris, welcome. Welcome.
Welcome, Chris. Thank you very much. And welcome, Claire, as well.
Claire, welcome. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you to you both. We do really appreciate it, especially at this time where we are going absolutely Eurovision crazy. Your support is very much appreciated because we do a lot, as well as all our other activities and actual jobs. We are doing a lot for the contest at this point. So we do appreciate all your support. If you do want to get involved with Patreon, it's patreon.com/nullpoir. You could just chuck us a quid a month and that's it to help support the podcast. Or if, like Claire and Chris, you want to be given the title of loyal contributor, then you can chuck us £3 a month. But really, anything is much appreciated. And of course, you don't have to do anything at all. No problem. If you do support us, though, you get each episode at least 24 hours in advance. Now, there is a note I want to give about that, because obviously next week, that's not going to be possible because we're going to be doing an episode
every day,
basically every day. Yeah. So that won't be possible. However, And I'm going to raise this now. I haven't actually risen this with Martin yet, but...
You want an emu. You want an emu. Patreon supporter.
A Eurovision emu. No. I was thinking that perhaps we can do a little Ask Us Anything kind of video, which we'll film in Liverpool. Patrons, if you've got any questions to ask us about what it's like in Liverpool at that time, or ask us about ourselves if you've got any questions about us, what we do with the podcast, how it all works, anything like that. And we'll just record a little 15-minute video, go through your questions and give you a little insight maybe into what's going on in Liverpool as well.
And if we don't get any questions, we'll just get drunk and you can
watch
that.
Drunk on camera. There you go, patrons. So there's a benefit if you are a patron. You could just watch a video of me and Martin getting drunk.
Great. Okay, let's hear from some people who have been getting in touch, and thank you very much for this. Hi, Bradley says, Eurovision Song Context podcast here. I like that. Have been listening to your pod since the start. I'm a big fan.
Thank you very much. Badly.
Green with envy that you're in Liverpool. Well, we're not yet, but we will be very soon. Your post marks the first time. Oh, so this is our post on social media, which was a photo of us.
Posted on Twitter.
Your post marks the first time I've seen you. You both look fab.
Bradley!
You can come again, Bradley. Thank you very much. And Ellen's been in touch.
Yes, Ellen from Australia got in touch because we were asking about people's ones to watch. Do check out our previous episode where we talked about our ones to watch in the contest. Not necessarily just the ones that we thought were going to win, but also some of the more interesting ones so you can become a Eurovision expert. Well, Ellen got in touch from Australia saying, mine are Slovenia, the UK, Ireland, Finland, Austria, Denmark, and Belgium. I also love Greece and Malta as well. Just so many good ones this year.
Ellen just had so many
that they wanted to mention there. But I agree, it is a good year. And I think we'll just give a little shout out to Kim as well, who messaged us on email. By the way, if you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, we're at @poirnull on Twitter. We're also Nullpoir Podcast on Instagram. Kim got in touch with us on nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. We're not going to read the email out because she sort of asked just to be left as it was, but just wanted to say thanks very much for the message because it was a really lovely one to read.
Thank you. Really, really kind of you to send such a nice message. So thank you very, very much. The next time you hear from Cress and I will be Tuesday when our podcast drops into your feed. We will be in Liverpool. We will have just watched the first semi-final in the arena, and you'll be able to hear how that goes. We can't wait to bring you our immediate reaction to that, and hopefully reactions of some fans as well that we will be able to talk to. We can't wait to bring you all the content as Eurovision is here.
Woo-hoo!
We'll catch you again on the next episode of Nullpoir.